what we're going to be discussing this evening together is actually what we all discuss and is doing. What we do every Wednesday, what we do every Sunday, and what we do in between when we are away from this building. And it's called prayer, intercession. Now, for you that remember, we're still in the book of Esther. And we will be starting at chapter 6, verse 10. And God has been really getting the glory out of this message, and we're going to let him continue to do so. We'll just call this message for this evening, Intercession That Turns the Table. Okay? So let's go to verse 10, where we left off last time I was before you. We were, Haman had going to the king to ask if he could hang for Mordecai. And when he got there, the king had discovered through not being able to sleep that night through his records that Mordecai was the one who had saved his life some time back. So when Haman came in to ask the king, could he hang Mordecai, the king asked Haman, what should I do for the man who deserves some honor? Let me just fast forward there because I want to try to get everything in. So Haman begins to describe with his prideful self what he would want done to him if he was the man that was being honored. And when he got finished running off at the mouth, the king said, go ahead and do that for Mordecai. Yes. So what he had to do was, now we're coming to the point in the story where the tables are about to turn because some things have been put in order. The fasting and the prayer have gone forth. And the word is coming from the throne room how to proceed to get the king's ear. So Mordecai, Haman, had to do to Mordecai what he thought was going to be done to him. So now, he done walked him through the city. He had to proclaim all these great things about him. Can you just imagine in his mind, he said, this is the man I was getting ready to ask the king to kill. And now I'm walking him around, and he's dressed to the T's in his royal robes that I thought I was going to have on. And I'm walking him around, and oh my goodness, I'm so ashamed. So now he does that, and Mordecai, when that procession is over, Mordecai goes back where he always does, sitting at the gate, and Haman, who doesn't realize that his minutes are numbered, he goes home and gets prophesied to by his friends and his wife, the very ones that told him to build the gallows to hang the man. Now they prophesy to him and tell him, I think you're about to go down. That's what they're telling him. That's what they're telling him. It's in verse 6. They're telling him, this man Mordecai, he's a Jew. They're telling him, you are about to fall before him. So now let's just begin at verse 10. Okay, I'm going to start when the king said, well, we can move back down to... Let's go to verse 11. Haman took the robe and the horse. He arrayed Mordecai and led him on horse. He arrayed him. He had to put these garments on him. The man he was trying to kill and all his people. He had to dress him. He arrayed him. He led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. I mean, he had to do the whole thing. He couldn't leave nothing out because the king gave him instruction. He had to follow it. Okay, so afterward, he goes back to the king's gate. But Haman hurried to his house, mourning with his hair covered. And then he gets prophesied to by his wife and his friends, who said, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. Now, while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came in and hastened to bring Haman to the second banquet, which Esther had prepared. Now, they had already had the first banquet. Obviously, you can tell by reading that Esther had got a check in her spirit, however the way the Lord was dealing at that time, that the first banquet was not the time to tell the king what was going on, because some things had to happen. And you see the things that had to happen. He had to have that night of no sleep, get the records read to him, and discover Mordecai, the Jew, who had saved him. Okay, so let's go to 7 verse 1. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom. It shall be done." Then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss." So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?" Verse 6. And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." And look at the next verse. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Because what he's realizing several things now is, my people, he's realizing that not only had he condemned Mordecai to death and all of the other Jews to death, but he had also condemned the queen of Persia to death because she is a Jew also. And what we're going to talk about this intercession, I want to talk about how Esther interceded for her people, how she just stood in the gap. Now, we know the word intercession, it means to stand in between a situation. And what I was saying about us, about how we come together and we pray, yes, we pray, and we know prayer means we ask the Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, but God showed me something really blessed about this prayer thing, and especially about the word intercession, because that word means to actually stand in the middle of whoever has asked you to pray and what the situation is that they need prayed for. And you know what it is? It's as though if it could come to a point where the Holy Spirit can deal with us when we pray for someone in intercession, that it would be as though it's happening to us. Yeah. That we could really connect and feel what is happening with that person. That it's happening to us, and pray as though it is happening to us. You hear what I'm saying? A couple of weeks ago, well, I wasn't here, but 2 weeks ago, my nephew's wife called, and he had got a report of cancer, and it was very serious, aggressive cancer. And it was diagnosed in July, and no one in the family knew about it. None of us knew about it. But his wife, the night before he was to go see another doctor, she got shaken in her spirit. So she started making some phone calls, and a phone call got to me, and she called me, and she said to me, "Aunt Debbie," and she began to tell me all of these things that was going on with my nephew. And I was like, she said, "No one told you?" And I said, "No, I had no idea." But when she began to tell me, I'm telling you, it was as though I had got the report. And what she said to me was, she said that he was discouraged. She said that he was covering his head up. And he must have been keeping lights, I don't know, but she said the spirit, there was a spirit attaching itself to him that was even beyond this affliction that had got a hold of his body. And so she said, "Can you come?" Now, here's another thing about the intercession. When we sit here, and a lot of times the prayers that we pray, we never even get to the location of where the person is, but that word, it goes there. We're still standing as though we're there. And we send that word, and we send it in the name of Jesus, and that word travels to his destination, and it hits. And then there are times when you are called to come or go, they need to physically see you in the place. Yes. They need to physically see your body, because sometimes there's another degree. There's another degree of the intercession, of the prayer. where you need to be right in that atmosphere. So therefore, when she gave me the word, I got on my phone and I texted all my siblings, who none of us knew about my nephew, that he had got this diagnosis. And I asked them to come to the hospital the next day, Jefferson Hospital, and I had set my mind, I don't care where I'm at tomorrow, what courtroom, I'm going to get out of this building, and I'm going over to Jefferson Hospital, and Father, I'm going to plant myself right beside him, and I am not budging until we get a breakthrough and break him through till he want to say, I'm going to fight. Call all my family. When I got there, my brother was there. Then my sister came, my oldest. Let me tell you, that prayer, we stood ourselves in the gap for him. And we said to him, what do you want? And he said to us, I want to live. And we said, then live you shall. Yes. You declare it. We agree with you. Yes. We stand ourselves in the midst of you. And we begin to pray that prayer. And what happened was that spirit of depression broke off of him. Hopelessness broke off of him. Doom broke off. All of that broke off of him. The young man, my baby is 37. I call him my nephew, my son, because that's how close we are. When we left several hours later, his whole continent, you could see the continents of, I'm going to fight because I want to live. Come on. The whole atmosphere in the room changed. Because we had to physically see, there's the spiritual intercession, and you said we could send that word from right here to the other side of the world, and then there's the physical, where you absolutely, because that person needs to see you there, and he needed to see us there, and when I got there, he was in surgery. I said, God, I am not leaving this building. That's when I had called you all. Because I said, I'm not leaving this building until I see his face myself. And let him know I am planting myself wherever you need to be planted. And we're going to pray you through. You fight, baby. You fight. And so as I speak to y'all, he's had his second round of chemotherapy. And all I know is intercession. Intercession. And what it means is to stand in the gap. What it means is to, you're the arbitrator. You're the go-between. You stand where the situation is. I plant myself between the symptoms. You got a prayer for him? I plant myself between you. What's your prayer? For him. You plant yourself between Sister Holden. You got a prayer for her? What's your prayer? I plant myself between. It's planting yourself between the situation. If someone gives you a prayer, and we are, listen, we are all intercessors. We are all intercessors because it says so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, that's a prayer, prayers, intercessions, those are prayers, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. What I'm saying is, there's no special gifts for intercession. We are in the body of Christ. We are the children of the Most High God. We can intercede for anyone, anywhere. But this is, if we could come together on just dealing on that level of intercession and ask the Lord to let us feel as though, because I'm going to tell you another thing that happened that night. When them prayers had gone forth for my nephew and we left, I told my husband, for hours and for days, I felt this physical drainness that I could not, I said, Lord, is this a little bit like what happened to you when the lady latched onto your robe and you said, I feel virtue going out of me. Now, I'm not all that like you. But for days, I felt as though something had gone out of me because that prayer for my nephew came out of here because I felt as though I got that doctor's report and that's my baby and I'm going to stand right there like it's happening to me. That's how it went with that particular intercession. So now let's just get back to Esther. Esther with her beautiful, beautiful self. She put her life on the line. She put her life on the line. You know what I like with what she said? When she said to the king, she said, if I found favor, if I'm pleasing to you, then let my life be given me and my people at my request. Right then and there, when she included her people, she placed her people. Here's the king, her, and her people. And what she was saying to him is, I'm standing. Oh, by the way, he got a revelation that she was a Jew at that moment. Of course, we all know that. So he was taken aback by that. See, he had a couple things going on in his head. When she said, my people, my life, this wicked Haman, something clicked in his head. I've been had. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, he had a couple things going on in his head. Okay, I let this man put this in my ear. I didn't check it out for myself. I just took it to be true because he was my chief of command. You expect your chief of command to be honest. Don't you? Somebody you could trust, you could close your eyes around. He done condemned the king's wife and didn't even know it. Out of his pride and hate for a man that he couldn't be like. Couldn't be like Mordecai. So Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. But was that a reason for thousands and thousands of people to die because one man won't bow to you? You couldn't be man enough to deal with him one-on-one? Ooh, did I say that? Did I say that? You couldn't deal with him one-on-one, man-on-man? You want to destroy a whole nation because one man won't bow to you? Okay, so the king got all this going on in his head, and when she said that she placed herself in between her people and the king, and what she was saying to him was, I'm a Jew too. My life, if they go down, I go down. That's what she was telling him. And he said, and when he said, who does presume to do so? And she said, this wicked Haman, that was it. When he got up, he was thinking as he was walking out, how I'm going to get rid of this brother, because he going to get it. He going to get it. And because it says his wrath, all of a sudden he got this anger. You know he had this little wrath about him, because he's thinking, oh, my goodness, I done signed this petition. My queen is a Jew. The man that saved my life is a Jew. And here's my chief of command who done caused all of this to be. So he out there, and Esther standing in the gap for her people. I just love the way she stood, and she said, okay, this is how it's going to be. They go, I go. These are my people, my petition, my request. And all of that means prayer. The word petition means prayer. The word request means prayer. Wait, we got someone here. It all means appeal. That means prayer. Cry. That means prayer. Entreat. I entreat you on their behalf. That means prayer. You can say that. I plead for them. I solicit you for them. I make supplication for them. All of those words mean prayer. Each, they're all synonymous. They all mean prayer. And request. It's an act, an instance of asking for something. So, of course, you know that. Wait, let's finish this, because this is just so good. We're in 7, verse 7. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before the queen. He got a nerve. He stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. Can you believe that he would even see that evil? How could evil see evil? How does that sound? Evil seeing evil. Whoa. He saw evil seeing evil. Yeah. He just gave out evil. He presumed. This is what he did. He drew the lot for destroying the Jews before even speaking to the king. He lied to the king about the Jews who initiated the death sentence. Because of his pompous and prideful attitude, he unknowingly exalted his enemy before the king. That was on him. And because of his vengeful heart, he unknowingly condemned the queen of Persia to death. And now he's afraid because now he sees that the king knows what he did and the queen is a Jew and all this going on at one time. And I hope he enjoyed that meal that she fed him because that was his last meal. That was his last meal that he ever was going to get on this earth. Ever. Ever, ever. So now, when the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Bad move. He should have stayed from a distance and just laid on the floor and said, please, Queen Esther, Please, please, please. But he laid, now he on the woman's couch. Now the man already hyped about what he gonna do to her. Now you laying on her sofa, on her private place that nobody's supposed to be on, and he's on it. And then the king said, in his eyes, if he was assaulting the Jews, he's assaulting the queen. He said, will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house? Because see, now his mind done been turned. See, now his mind is turned. It's turned in a protective mode now. Now I'm going to see my queen. He's laying on my queen's bed. You know, her, well, not bed, but sofa bed, what they call them. And so, as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. See, who was they? The guards and all who were in attendance at the banquet. They already knew as the king walked out the room, get the bag ready. For real. For real. Get the bag. They know the protocol. Get the bag ready, because that's what's considered like what? High treason? Way up there somewhere? Okay, so they had the bag ready. So as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And then now the servant, Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing in the house of Haman. Well, what else could the king do? Hang him on it. He built it, let him swing on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was subsided because it was a pride thing too. Because he didn't, well, we're not talking about him, but maybe if he had did something a little different, for God knows all things. So anyway, Esther's stance of intercession on behalf of thousands of people, just imagine thousands of people, you know, we can intercede for thousands of people also. Also, of every nation, of every race. We can intercede for so many people. And if it's in our means to, if someone calls you, texts you, sends somebody to tell you, could you please come? Because we just need your presence here. We've had times, my husband and I, where we got, can you come to this place? Can you come to our house?
That's right.
Oh, we need prayer at our house. Can you come to the hospital, the person is getting ready to leave. And we're standing in the gap for that person. Standing in the gap, even for a smooth transition over to the other side. And wait, I'm not done yet, we're still talking about. So what I say intercession was? Stepping right in the middle of the situation of who you're praying for. Because we pray for ourselves and we make our petitions to God. But the minute someone asks you, or the minute you get a prayer request in your hand, it becomes intercession. And if we can look at it on that level of, because intercession is such an awesome word, and prayer is a good word, but when you look at it on a level of intercession, like I'm actually standing here in this place actually for somebody, and let God pour that in, you know, to you like that. So that's how Esther did as an intercession. And what I was describing to how we should do as intercessors. And now, let's talk about the best intercessor of all. 2 Timothy 2, 5, and 6. Jesus. He's the intercessor to model after. He was, intercession was going on before he even came to the earth. And then he came. And then as he was walking this earth those years, those before he went to the cross, he gave examples of intercession. And you can just write these down and look at them. But he gave examples of intercession. Just one moment, please. Concerning the centurion and his servant, where he sent the word. And that was in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. And then he gave another example of intercession when Jairus came and said, can you come? Can you come to my house? Because my daughter, he needed his presence there. the servant, the centurion said, all you got to do is send the word, and I know that he's going to be healed. So see, there we go with that. It's intercession all the way around. It's sending, it's going. It's sending, and it's going. Hallelujah. So 2 Timothy verse 5 and 6 verses, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Mediator means intercessor. He's our intercessor, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus, he showed us how to be intercessors before he went to the cross. And even now, as he is seated on the right hand of the Father, he is still our intercessor for Hebrews chapter 7. That's mine too. Hebrews chapter 7, we saw that verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for us. He's the advocate. Advocate means intercessor. Intercessor means mediator. Mediator means go-between. Go-between means peacemaker. All of those words he is. And it says forever. That means whoever is born, whoever accepts Christ, he can intercede for them to the Father. Okay, you can come in because you got to come through me. Remember what he said in John chapter 14? No man cometh to the Father except by me. I'm the intercessor. It's only one way to the Father, and that's through the intercessor. And while we're here, he teaches us to be intercessions, and we get to use his awesome name when we do it. In the name of the most mighty intercessor of all, in the name of Jesus, we prayed all of those prayers this evening, and we continue to pray. And Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just make sure that do everything the Holy Spirit asked me to do here. And glory to God. Yes. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we close and all, we just remember that as our intercessor, Jesus stood between us and the Father. He stood between us and death. He stood between us and our sin. Wow. He interceded spiritually and physically for us. And the physical was the cross thing, the burial and the resurrection and the ascension. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ministering angels go before us to keep us safe.